This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. I'm joined by a guest in Berlin, a photographer based in that city, who's going to tell me a story about the very special and positive effect that Icelandic nature, and specifically the skies above the country, had on them after they lost their mother in 2017. My guest is Paco Quijada, who is in Berlin, a Spanish photographer based in the German capital, and no stranger now to Iceland, having visited many times. Paco, thanks very much for your time today. Let's talk about the photographs that you've taken, and we're going to talk as well about the Kickstarter campaign, which has launched today to secure funding for the publication of these images. But take me back to 2017, if you can, a difficult time for you when you lost your mother.
Yeah, so my first trip to Iceland happened a few months after she passed away. This is a trip that was already planned before, but yeah, when she died, it was something that happened really quickly. And right after this happened, I felt like I really wanted to spend time in nature. I live in a big city, and you know, I think that first trip to Iceland really changed in a way how I was dealing with my grief, and it really helped me in many ways. And of course, as a photographer and filmmaker, like, my camera goes with me everywhere, so it felt very natural to me to kind of immortalize my surroundings.
How did the sky help?
I pay a lot of attention to the skies always. Like, I will just leave my house and be like, oh, look at that cloud or whatever. Like, this is something that was already there with me. But I think in Iceland in particular, is because it's so sparsely populated. When you're traveling around Iceland, the sky is always present. And of course, because the weather changes all the time. So the sky is constantly changing. And in a way, for me, a lot of the photos included in the book were done from a car. And for me, this kind of like being in the car, I was not driving, of course. So being in the car and the monotony of driving, and which can be quite tedious sometimes, but in the state that I was in, it felt kind of like a meditative state. And I just started taking photos just naturally.
And there probably is a lot more variety on an Icelandic road than perhaps on the Autobahn. I've driven and very much enjoy driving on the German Autobahn, but it is perhaps a more monotonous activity than driving through the wilds of Iceland.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, driving in Iceland, especially because even from the south to the north, it changes a lot. The west fjords are amazing as well. So yeah, there's a lot more variety in that sense.
And I'm interested as well in what you say about that connection with how you would have felt as a child being in the car. Did it help in that sense with the grief that you felt about losing your mother? Did it take you back to a time, obviously, when she was alive and the time that you were a child?
I wouldn't say so particularly. Like, my mom was not a driver, so I don't have that experience of being with her in cars very much. But there was a certain childlike quality to being in that car, being taken from point A to point B. So I guess there is a connection, because I guess our mothers always make us feel like, well, we are the children. Yes. Of our mothers. So there is that connection, but it's not necessarily connected to a memory that I had with her in cars.
So you were there in 2017 and in 2019 and in 2021. And in 2021, Iceland was not, I mean, nowhere was really fully back to post-COVID strength by that point. So did the country feel different in 2021?
To be honest, as a tourist, I didn't notice it. Obviously, the world had changed. Mm. And we actually were meant to go in June of 2021, but we were not vaccinated. So we couldn't enter the country, and we had to postpone it to August. So yes, of course, it was different, but it was already different here in Germany as well. So I didn't necessarily feel like the country itself had changed.
At what point did you begin to realize that this may become an artistic project, as you watched the skies, as you loved the skies, as you photographed the skies? At which point did you start to think there is a body of work here, potentially?
I think it was probably after the first trip. in 2017 that I realized that there was kind of a pattern. I mean, of course, I was taking a lot of photos. It was my first time in Iceland. I was completely mesmerized by everything. But I realized that there was a pattern of me taking photos of skies, and there were like a lot of cool clouds that I could see. And that's when I realized, like, by the time I went back in 2019, I started consciously taking these photos because I thought, okay, there is something here that I can explore. I have explored the theme of grief in other works as well. So my mind, in terms of artistic practice, was very much in that headspace. So I think that because of those two things coming together, I realized, okay, there is a project here.
Famously said in Iceland, of course, that if you don't like the weather, you can just wait for 15 minutes and it will become something else. And even as we're having our conversation today, I'm recording this conversation at home, in fact, as we talk over Zoom, and the window to my right looks out over Kopavogur and over the capital to the north as well. And the weather has changed, the sky has changed dramatically just in the last 10 minutes from very grey, very overcast. And it's now becoming quite bright. You can probably even see on the Zoom camera the sun is starting to come in, and the sky of just 10 minutes ago is already becoming a distant memory. Was that part of the appeal that you had so many different subjects within such a short period of time?
Absolutely. I think that it's almost like, if you think about it, from three trips I created, the final selection is 60 photographs, and there are so many different types of clouds, colors, sky, the skies are constantly changing, and I find that really amazing. Like, I have never experienced looking at the sky, and every time you look at it, it has kind of changed. And maybe you have driven for like 5 kilometers, and it's completely different.
So narrowing this down to 60 photographs must have been difficult, because I guess you took more than 60.
Yes. I took many, many photos of Iceland, not only of the skies, of everything. It was difficult, but as I say, since from the second trip, I already was more consciously taking these photos. And one of the goals that I had was that the landscape, because there are a lot of very well-known spots in Iceland, and I didn't want that to take away from the skies.
No.
The book does include some areas that are very well known, but I didn't want the landscape to be the main focus. So yes, to answer your question, it was difficult to pick the 60
Cute.
photographs.
I love the idea that you could be at a major tourist attraction and there are a million tourists pointing their camera at a waterfall, say, and you're pointing your camera at the sky instead, seeing something that no one else is seeing, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, there are some places where the sky has been so obvious that I would be very surprised if nobody else saw it. But I definitely wanted to immortalize it just in case
Yes.
nobody else had.
You have a favorite shot then, or a favorite location, and maybe those are two completely different questions.
So, favorite shot, I do. I have a few actually, but my favorite shot is actually the one on the cover. And this is because also together with the designer that I'm working with for the book, it was his favorite shot as well. We thought that it represented the series and the theme around grief very well. One thing that for me was kind of like it wasn't a priority to know where the photos were taken, because it's kind of like the repetition of it all that I found more interesting about the photos. So to be honest, I don't know where this photo was taken. I probably could backtrack it a little bit and find out.
How would you describe it then, that particular photo, the one that you're talking about? What is the sky doing? What are the clouds doing in that image?
It is a photo that in which the basically half of the photo from the top, the sky is very dark. It's very dark clouds. But you can see kind of like around the middle or the lower thirds, kind of white clouds coming through. And I thought that was a good representation of how my grief has evolved also with each of these trips, because also the sequencing is made to show this evolution. So it's not a documentation per se of like each trip, each photo taken. It is very much thought of as a more conceptual representation of how my grief evolved. And this is the last photo in the series. So it's quite dramatic in a way, which I thought could maybe do a very good book cover.
Okay, and the book in question is Solace, Skies of Iceland, a photo book by Paco Quijada. And as we have our conversation, the Kickstarter campaign to fund this has been open for about 20 minutes by the time you hear the conversation for the first time. It launches today, Tuesday, the 7th of May. For anyone who's a bit unsure about how Kickstarter campaigns work, you're looking for funding for the book to be published, is that right?
Yes, so Kickstarter is a crowdfunding page where a lot of creative projects come about, and actually it's quite common for photo books to be funded this way. The book will be published by Verlag Kettler, it's a German publisher, but the fundings need to be raised first. And what each people can do, they can back the project by buying either one copy of the book, or there are also prints from the series. There's a lot of different rewards in the campaign, and that directly contributes to the production of the book.
Well, we'll put a link up to that as well. You're obviously hopeful that you're going to get the funding that is required. If someone pledges, then, if someone decides, again, for anyone who's not familiar with the process, for someone who pledges now, if you don't reach the funding target, they won't be charged.
Exactly. The way that Kickstarter works with charging people is that they only get charged at the end of the campaign and if the goal is reached.
Okay.
So it's pretty low risk for people to pledge right now, because they will only be charged when the funds are raised in full, because it's an all or nothing campaign. And that will mean that the project will happen.
But you must be pretty confident and hopeful, obviously, that the
Yeah.
target is going to be reached, because this represents a number of years of work, doesn't it?
Yes, it's been in the works for a long time, and I have always thought of it as a book project. Like these photos, I have not put them online or exhibited anywhere, because I always wanted to have it as a project. So it does represent a lot of years of work. It represents, of course, in terms of my own grief and my journey with it, and how I have expressed that creatively. It represents kind of like a culmination of it. But I am hopeful. I'm hopeful that people will be interested in the book, that they will somehow connect to it. It's going to be a beautiful book, that I can say that I'm confident about.
Yes.
And
Well, it
I can
contains the
be
skies of
hopeful.
Iceland. How could it not be beautiful?
Exactly. But yeah, we will see how the Kickstarter goes. We're trying. It's my first campaign on Kickstarter, so there's always like a lot of it's an intimidating process, but certainly exciting.
And it sounds like a wonderful tribute to your mother as well. Have other family members or friends of hers, people that knew her and loved her, have they weighed in on this? What do they think of what you're doing?
Especially with my sisters, I have three sisters. They're all rooting for me, rooting for this book to happen. I have a lot of friends as well that are rooting for it. They're asking me, "Oh, when is the Kickstarter starting?" So I feel very supported, which in the end, it's the most important thing, that I'm doing something, and everyone around me is really rooting for this project to come.
When is the next trip to Iceland for you?
Well, as soon as possible, to be honest. I really cannot wait to go again. I hope it will be next year, because I haven't seen the East yet. And I would really love to see the east part of the country. So hopefully in 2025, that will be the time.
As I'm sure you suspect, there is a lot of beauty in the east of Iceland as well.
Yeah.
Good luck with the Kickstarter. We'll put a link up on the page accompanying this show from Ruv English Radio. Paco, thank you very much indeed. I'm sure we'll talk again, and good luck with that Kickstarter. Details on the website. Paco Quijada joining me from Berlin today. It's Ruv English Radio. I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. English at ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.